This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and I'll be with you for the next several minutes talking about strategies to help you to navigate in many of your life's concerns. And with us to help get us started is Joe McKenzie. Here's our co-host on New Beginnings. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. RippleConnects.com is the website. 763-438-1621. I got your email that said I said a little too quickly. 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad to be talking with you this weekend. And we've got a really great topic as we go and navigate through this pandemic in which we find ourselves, marketing your 25 plus years leadership and experience in the new corona economy. And that's really a really good timely topic for this weekend, Joe McKenzie. Let's first talk about the changes to our economy. What have you seen change so far?
I think just the overall speed of the changes. I don't think anybody on January 1st of 2020 would have seen the impact on the economy. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I would agree. I mean, I think we were seeing a lot of it. There are some economists who are saying that the economy is starting to make a turn to come back, but there are others say that there are still rough waters ahead. And the person who's prudent will start making changes to really to buttress themselves against this ever-changing economy.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not going to be, hey, let's just try to get through the next couple months and go back to business as normal or our organizational structure as normal. I do think companies and industries are going to change permanently. And I honestly don't think most people saw we were going to be right here in this point in time in the middle of June, July of 2020. So that begs the question, our leadership, our 25 plus years of leadership, say the baby boomers and the Gen X workforce, we may have not seen the speed of this economic downturn, but we've certainly been a part of economic downturns in our careers, right?
That's certainly right.
From stock market issues to the financial crisis of 08, we've seen how it's impacted the workforce and how companies do business. And that's why I wanted to bring that forward today, because many of us have been there. We've had to guide organizations through tough times years ago. And here we are today, often in leadership positions, trying to lead our organization through this. So our experience, our wherewithal, our adaptability, just be able to respond, not react, is going to be critical for these organizations we belong to. Do you have anything to add to that? My take.
I would agree. It makes a lot of sense because, I mean, as you mentioned, this is not going away anytime soon. And I think some of the things that we have done to adapt to this changing economy, the way that we work even, are some things that are going to follow us for the long term, not just, as you mentioned, not just a couple of months, but for the long term. And I'm just curious, what are some of those items that you think are the ways that we do business will follow us for the next 3 to 5 to 10 years?
Well, just to be able to adapt quickly, respond to it, not react. I think that's a positive way to respond to things that are outside of our control and be able to keep our heads about us and our leadership so we can guide our organization. And that, I think, is going to be where those leaders are going to stand out, and being able to anticipate that those disruptions that are coming down the pike. It may look similar to what we may have saw in 06, 07 leading up to the financial crisis of 08, or an economic downturn maybe in the 80s or 90s that we were a part of organization. So those are the two areas that I'd like to kind of focus on and just let our baby boomer and Gen X audience to know that you may be that person that's going to be able to help the multi-generational workforce of today be in a better position after the pandemic and that our crisis starts to get more in our control.
Exactly. I remember in 2006, we were just coming toward the end of the big housing boom. and people were spending tremendous amounts of money for homes that were way overvalued. And right now, we're seeing the opposite of that. I'm just curious, as we talk about this economy, Joe McKenzie, what's the value to employers of someone's years of leadership and years of experience, especially right now?
I think that historical context of we've been in these crisis modes before, and what did we do to change, to adapt, and how we led our organizations through that. I know that I was selling in an industry, both the 2008 crisis, 9/11, the soft economy of the early 90s, and I'm applying that to both my company as well as the nonprofit that I lead. That historical context, Freddie, has allowed me to make good decisions, to have that wherewithal, to set Ripple Connects as well as the organization that I lead in a better position when things do hopefully return to normal in the next year or two.
Well, everybody, Joe McKenzie with us, our co-host on the program, and we're talking about changes and leveraging your leadership and leveraging your experience in the new corona economy. It's really interesting that people are just really resisting changes. So what do you say to the people who come to you? They're saying, Joe, this is just so tough. It's tough to deal with. And here I am. I've got 15 years experience, 20 years experience, and it's like nothing I've ever seen. What would be one of the first things that you would say to this individual to help them to navigate?
Gaining a better understanding of how your company is positioned and that adaptability of that organization and how you can make some of those changes that are within your control so you can stay out of the way of those external forces that are outside of your control. So you almost look internally on what you can make changes with, but also knowing that you have control of that, or, you know, just maybe not, you know, do the same things that you were doing pre-pandemic, but now making some changes to see how nimble your organization can be. And I know that owners that I worked with in the past, I watched them lead through these types of crises. If it was refining their budget or maybe changing their business model to see new opportunities that are out there, or just overall being there for their staff to let them know that they're leading them through that. That's what I would say to someone that hasn't seen this type of crisis before, that, you know, you have things that are in your control and there are things that are outside your control. And if you only focus on things that are completely out of your control, then you're probably taking your eye off the ball in regards to what you can.
So how do you make yourself stand out? How do you make yourself different, Joe McKenzie?
Well, in the hiring process, if you were to be wanting to join a new organization, say you were laid off, this is a common theme. I would cite your process on how you've led an organization through crisis. Don't talk about how you did it. Define your process on how you made decisions during that time. And that's in a hiring process or internally, if you're trying to lead an organization, talk about how that process that you put together that you've used in good times and not so good economic times has worked. And so that's how you're going to stand out, Freddie. Support your outcomes with the processes that you've refined.
Everyone, Joe McKenzie with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And as we talk about trying to make ourselves stand out, how to differentiate ourselves in this economy, and we talked about how we can really make changes to leverage and take advantage of what's in front of us, what would be your final thoughts, Joe, as we wind this conversation up this weekend on making and marketing your leadership, marketing your experience in today's world? What would you leave us with this weekend?
Well, just know that change is happening almost weekly, and we have to stay in tune to where our organization is. If you happen to be laid off and you're looking to go to a new industry, then cite your experience, but back up that experience, Freddie, that leadership and experience with your process. So the employer will see how maybe or quite possibly that your process can be applied to this organization who has been experiencing some tough times in this economy.
Everybody, Joe McKenzie with us on New Beginnings, talking about how we're navigating through this new pandemic. It's been 100 years since this has happened, but we have no real contemporary roadmap other than following the guidance that we see from MDH and CDC and the Department of DEED? And Joe, I know you do some fine work.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
This is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman!
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guide, simple checklist, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP Job Board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody, and thank you again so much for being with us this week on New Beginnings. And as we turn our attention now, we want to talk more about finance, and in particular, maybe that youngster in your home who has a student loan, or maybe you and your student have that loan together with a parent loan or a student loan. I was reading in nerdwallet.com and an article written by Ryan Lane where he talks about student loans, and he says refinancing rates are near record lows right now, but maybe you might be waiting to take the plunge. Student loan refinancing rates are near record lows, Lane says, and he says it may make sense to stick with your current student loan relief options that pause your federal student loan payments. But he says if that benefit ends as scheduled on September 30th, or If you have higher rate private student loans without relief programs, you may want to revisit student loan refinancing. These refinancing awards, he says, are great credit and healthy personal finances. And he says, here's how you can get the best deal. And he gives several points. Number one is to improve your credit. Refinance lenders consider many factors, he says, to decide your interest rate. You may not be able to immediately move the needle on some of them, like your income, but a better credit score typically means a better rate. Lenders may also approve you with a FICO score above 650, but offers can improve for scores in the mid-700s and above. Lane says look for opportunities to improve your credit score. One major factor in FICO and VantageScore scores is use, the percentage of available credit you're using. If you're above 30% of your credit, either on any one card or across all of your accounts, paying down balances strategically could help your scores. You can also make biweekly payments to keep balances low or ask for higher credit limits. Number two, the second option you have is to pay down your debt. Consider using any extra cash you have thanks to paused student loan payments to pay off one or more of your other debts. He also goes on to say that refinance lenders usually consider debt-to-income ratio, or DTI, your monthly financial obligations, divided by your monthly income. So, for example, let's say you earned $4,000 a month and paid $2,000 toward rent, your existing student loans, etc., your DTI would be 50%, which is about as high as any refi lender would like. A lower DTI is better, so use a debt tracker and look for monthly incomes you can reduce or knock out altogether, he says. Can you pay off credit cards or consolidate them into a lower payment? Above all, Lane says don't close your accounts, which could hurt your credit scores. Or could you refinance other debts that carry higher interest rates first, like car loans? And then finally, Lane says watch the rates. If current refi interest rates are moving higher than you'd like, and you're positive that you want to refi eventually, apply sooner rather than later, he says. Once payment suspension ends, interest rates will start again. If you refinanced at, say, 4% a month before the end of the forbearance, you'd come out ahead in less than 5 months. If you have private loans that lack interest waivers, check your rates right now. Giving you some ideas on whether or not it's time to revisit a refinance of student loans right now or whether or not you should wait. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. We've got great information for you as always this weekend. As we continue talking about your money, let's talk about retirement. Target date investments are supposed to be an easier way to invest, and they are a popular choice in 401k plans, that according to Liz Weston, also of NerdWallet. But the recent market downturn showed that some target date strategies suffered much bigger losses than others, especially for investors nearing retirement. Target date investments did protect near retirees from the full force of sell-offs. While U.S. stocks overall lost 33% in a 30-day period ending March 20th, the average target date fund for people retiring this year dropped 17%. That according to Leo Etchman, he's the director of multi-assets ratings at Morningstar. But losses among some popular funds range from 13 to 23%, reflecting dramatic differences in how the investments are constructed. An outsized loss by itself isn't a good reason to bail on an investment, they say. The same strategy that's giving you heartburn now could deliver above average returns later on. If you are approaching retirement, however, you have less time to make up losses and more risk of running out of money, according to Weston. Here's how target date strategies work. Target date investments come in two forms, either mutual funds, which are available at brokerages, and in workplace retirement plans, and collective investment trusts, which are found only in workplace plans. Although people use target date strategies in IRAs and taxable accounts, they are particularly popular in 401ks. One Fidelity survey found that about half of all assets in tax-exempt retirement funds are invested in target date options. The name comes from the fact that the mix of stocks and bonds get more conservative as the target date, typically the year the investor plans to retire, gets closer. A target date 2020 option, for example, is designed for someone retiring soon, while target date 2060 is meant for retirements that are 40 years away. A pretty simple math formula. So how do target date strategies differ? Lynn Weston says that's where the similarities end. Investment companies choose different initial mixes of stocks and bonds, as well as different what are called glide paths or rates, at which the mix is adjusted. On average, target date strategies for this year had 43% of their portfolios invested in stocks, but one fund had 55% in stocks, while another had just 8%, that according to Lynn Weston of NerdWallet. These types of investments differ as well. For example, some funds that are more conservative with their stock allocation take more risk with their bonds, choosing corporate bonds or even high-yield junk bonds over U.S. Treasury or other government debts. Those risky bonds offer better returns in good times, but often get trounced in extreme downturns when investors leave or flee to the safety of government bonds. And then on top of that, investment companies tinker with their formulas, so the strategy in place when you initially invested might change by the time you retire. Lynn Weston goes on to say that understanding how your target date works requires some time and research. Your 401k provider or your brokerage will be able to provide you with information including how the investment glide path works, its expense ratios, and how those compare to industry averages. You're listening to New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell. We're talking about having the right target date for your retirement. Lynn Weston goes on to say that you have to decide if you're comfortable with this approach given the expected risk and returns. She says if you decide that you're not happy with your current choice, you do have options. If you're in a workplace retirement plan, you might choose different dates, such as the 2015 fund, if you think the 2020 option is too risky, though you probably can't switch target date providers since most 401ks only offer one. If your money is in an IRA or a taxable account, you could switch providers as well as target dates. Another possibility is to craft your own portfolio. Consider consulting a fee-only fiduciary advisor, one who's committed to putting your interests first for help, she says. Getting good advice is something you should do anyway before you retire because many retirement decisions are irreversible and mistakes can make your life a lot less comfortable. Also, a retiree's ability to avoid financial errors tend to decline starting in their 50s, even though our confidence in these abilities remain high. Working with a trusted advisor can help us avoid blind spots that could be costly. All of this work is the exact opposite of the hands-off-the-wheel approach you probably wanted when you chose a target date investment, but staying hands-off or making changes without professional advice could mean losses that drive your retirement into a ditch. If you'd like more information, Liz Weston can be reached at lweston@nerdwallet.com, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975, West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
If you want to do more, gain more, or be more, that's prosperity, our point of focus. Even though abundance and prosperity is as vast as the ocean, you can only carry as much water as your container will hold. If you want to enjoy more, if you want to experience more, if you want to have more, you have to come to the party with a larger container. You have to prepare yourself. You have to get ready. You have to be in that moment and be ready to experience prosperity no matter how it comes. So when you come looking for water, bring the largest container you can find. And after you fill that container, be sure to share it with others. That's our point of focus, prosperity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Happy weekend, everyone. Happy weekend to you. I'm Freddie Bell, and you're listening to New Beginnings. And it's our pleasure right now to go out to West Metro Hypnosis. And if you like, the website is westmetrohypnosis.com. Really simple. And the founder is Kelly Von Heidekamp, and we're pleased to have her with us this morning with you. Here's our telephone number, 952-222-3975. Good morning, Kelly, and welcome.
It is always my pleasure to be with you, Freddie.
It's great. We've had an association for a number of years, and I mentioned your website, westmetrohypnosis.com, and ironically, this weekend, you're talking about social media.
Yes, social media.
That's a broad topic.
It is, and I think it's very powerful to understand how powerful social media is, and I'd like to bring everybody's attention to the fact that we don't even have to label it as good, bad, right, or wrong, but it's very, very powerful, and it can be used in a number of different ways. As we've seen, you know, over the years, recently in current events, we've seen it being used for forces of good. All kinds of fundraising activities have happened, calls to action, things like that. It also is a way for activists to organize and keep people up to date, which can be in a very important aspect of social media. And I just want to draw everybody's attention to how easy it is to forget maybe some basic etiquette when it comes to social media, and that many of us can think it's a good place to get up into other people's business, or we believe it's a great place to blast our own opinions out to the world. And I know those two things are really a cause of a lot of anxiety for many, many people. And from a mental health aspect of it, it is important to note that taking a break from social media can actually be one of the most beneficial things you can do for your emotional and for your mental health, especially when things, as they recently have been with current events and protests and other such things. So it's important to note your time on social media, and is it inspiring you? Is it lifting you up? Is it letting you feel better than you did before you got on it? Or is it really depleting your energy, your time, your focus? How is it affecting you? And what is your role in that? Are you putting opinions out that maybe shouldn't be put out there? Are you getting into other people's business? Are other people getting into your business? And what is your role in that?
What's a basic rule of etiquette you mentioned early on with social media?
Well, a basic rule of etiquette, according to Kelly, would be to really keep your opinions that would inflame conversations that are hurtful, that are derogatory, that are divisive. I believe that there's just simply no place for them on social media. But then again, those are etiquette rules according to Kelly.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that if you'd like to talk more about social media and social media etiquette, you can visit with Kelly, westmetrohypnosis.com, 952-222-3975. That's the number. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't. $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis. Wake up to your success.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Happy weekend, everyone. I am Freddie Bell, and with me now is the center coordinator for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. They're located at 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you'd like to reach them directly, here's their telephone number, 612-344-2221. And we're happy to welcome Kitty Harris. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Freddie. I am amazing. How are you?
Unbelievable and excited to talk with you because there's usually something going on at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And one of your key collaborative partners, Alive and Kicking, they have a lot to talk about these days.
Yes, Alive and Kicking, our senior rock group where you have to be 62 to get in. And the catchphrase is, this is not your grandmother's choir. They are actually celebrating their 10 years of being a choir and serving our community. So June is marked 10 years that they have been in operation. And in celebration of their 10 years, they were planning to host their big community show out at the Bloomington Center for the Arts, where they do free community performances for us every year. But due to COVID-19, they were not able to. So they got very creative with a way of how we could still commemorate this wonderful 10 years and still get the community involved. And so what they did is they put together a season by season journey, and we are inviting people to visit their website, which is www.aliveandkickinmn.org. And once you go onto that website, it breaks down. We have these wonderful video montages that celebrate each season of Alive and Kicking and their journey through music and honoring our seniors.
Wow. Everybody, we're talking with Kitty Harris, the center coordinator for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, one of our partners on New Beginnings. And we're talking about the 10th anniversary of Alive and Kicking. Always smile when you describe them, a 60 plus rock group.
Yes. And the beauty about Alive and Kicking, the founder, Michael Matthews, when he founded this organization, he wanted to still give people who were in the arts and entertainment world a realm to be, a safe place to be. And we know how important at the center music and art is in helping with memory and helping with Alzheimer's and dementia, and how it is able to bring people back and helps with the memory muscle mass, and you have to remember song lyrics. Mm-hmm. And so when visit the website, which is again www.aliveandkickinmn.org, they'll get to see the stories and the journeys. That's one of the things Alive and Kicking, they pride themselves on. They pride themselves on providing a story through music, and you feel like you're going on a journey with the person as they're singing these songs, and you're connecting with them because they're songs that you've heard, that you have a memory to, that you have a connection to. And now when you see it through someone else's eyes, it enhances your experience with that music. So it's a very powerful journey when you start dealing with music and memory and connection.
Wow. So is that available right now, or is there a date when it's open and you can see this wonderful journey of Alive and Kicking?
It's available right now for people to view, and there's new content that's being added every day. And I can tell you, just being able to see them in their full costumes with some of the themes that they had from 10 years ago to now, it's just so beautiful and it's so inspiring. And the underlying message of it all is love. And that's what we really need right now in our world, is a little bit more love, a little bit more laughter, a little bit more music, a little bit more fun. And so to see them put this together from all walks of life and come together under the same common goal, is just to share your experience using music, it's definitely beautiful. So again, we invite people to visit the website, www.aliveandkickinmn.org, or check us out on Facebook. You can find it under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. you can connect to the Alive and Kicking page there. And if anybody has any questions specifically about Alive and Kicking, 612-382-7155.
All right. Thank you, Kitty Harris. She is the Center Coordinator for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and this is New Beginnings.
Sister Spokesman.
Hey, ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Our weekend program continues on New Beginning as now it's time to talk about healthcare, and the future of healthcare is right here. The pandemic has turned telehealth from a maybe one day to a right here, right now situation. As recently as last year, only 8% of Americans had ever used telemedicine. And that has changed overnight, with some practitioners reporting that up to 95% of patient visits are now virtual, and with insurance companies and health providers advertising their telemedicine offerings. Telemedicine, defined as a visit between a patient and a healthcare provider by telephone, smartphone, tablet, or computer, is just one part of telehealth, which also includes programs such as at-home patient monitoring and physician-to-physician consults. One example is teleradiology, in which CT scans and MRIs are interpreted by radiologists who can be on a different continent than the patient's doctor. Innovative telehealth programs are successfully reducing the need for patients to go to the ER or to be hospitalized, and they're proving so attractive to patients and healthcare providers that many experts believe this form of medicine may become routine, that according to Gene Linzer of AARP. Coming of age, telemedicine has been talked about as the wave of the future for the past several years, but it took radical changes in federal and state regulations and insurance policies over the past few months, as well as a change in consumer awareness and behavior, to thrust the future upon us today. For example, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has temporarily lifted regulations that prevented reimbursement for telemedicine visits outside of rural areas and did not allow doctors to treat patients across state lines. For patients who have trouble traveling or live far from their doctors, telemedicine is especially prized. As an example, cancer patients are discovering that they can avoid travel to see specialists who may be located far from their homes. Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa, Florida reports conducting 300 or more virtual visits a day, and Massachusetts General Hospital in Houston saw a 10 to 20-fold increase in telemedicine visits in late March, while the medical centers of the University of California, San Francisco, reported that half of its visits were conducted virtually. Reduced travel time also means the patients can use less sick time for missed work. In some instances, they don't have to take off time from work, as they can use their lunch or break time to have a virtual visit. Telehealth programs offer advantages beyond reduced exposure to infectious diseases. If you live with a chronic condition such as congestive heart failure, diabetes, or chronic lung disease, you may benefit from far more frequent and even continuous oversight of your health status than you would receive from intermittent in-person visits. Atrium Health, a healthcare service provider serving 37,000 patients daily across Georgia, has seen virtual primary care and urgent care visits increase by more than 500% since the pandemic began. Heart patients who require surgery are enrolled in the Perfect Care program. That's a telehealth initiative that follows patients before, during, and after heart surgery, that according to Jeffrey Rose, who's a doctor and president of Atrium Sanger Heart and Vascular Institute. When patients go home, they are equipped with a smartphone, if they don't have one already, along with a weight scale and wearable devices that monitor their heart rate, how many steps they take, and their sleep patterns. Rose says that data from these devices are projected in real time on dashboards used by healthcare providers to manage patient care. Rose goes on to say that if we see their heart rate is going up, their sleep pattern is disturbed, or that they are gaining weight and falling behind on their daily steps they take, we can call them and do a video visit. The program has paid off, he says, in reduced ER visits and hospitalizations. Artificial intelligence, AI, another aspect of telehealth, is being used to reduce a potentially deadly problem. Alarm fatigue is what happens when your health monitoring system cries wolf often enough that staff fail to react quickly to a potentially life-threatening situation. Dr. Rose goes on to say that the last thing anyone with chronic health conditions needs is to get in the car, drive, and wait in a waiting room. He says we need access to telehealth to be maintained once the pandemic has cooled in order to ensure Medicare and other payers continue their support for virtual technologies. He says we need advocacy on all fronts, particularly from patients. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Now, the widow went back to Elisha after this amazing multiplication, the amazing increase of the valuable oil in her household. She went back to Elijah, and going to the man of God meant she went seeking spiritual guidance. So that is a principle we find in our prayer and meditation work. We are seeking spiritual guidance. She asked Elijah, "What do I do now?" Elijah said, "Do something with the increase." He suggested that she take that valuable oil and sell it, and that it would bring in enough income to satisfy the creditors. Her two sons would not be taken away and sold into slavery, and there would be plenty left over that would sustain her and her children for quite a while. Now, Charles Fillmore often said to Unity students, get behind the idea. Get behind the idea of the story. What is the principle? What is it that you can learn? So it seemed to me when I looked at this story, these are the seven essential action steps that I can practice, that I can learn from Elijah and the widow. I'll go over them quickly since we do not have unlimited time. Step one, go to the man of God. That is, seek spiritual guidance through meditation and prayer. Step two, consider what do you have of value? What do you want to see increased in your life? To meet a need, like the widow did. Step three, prepare to receive the increase. In our story, the widow went to all of her neighbors and got all of the empty containers she could find, all that she could imagine that she could possibly fill. You know, perhaps like my experience with my father, that widow might have collected twice as many vessels and ultimately had twice as much oil. But in our story, she collected all the vessels that she could imagine could be filled with good. The fourth step, concentrate. Remember, she closed the door of her house upon she and her sons so that they could focus on this intention of increase and trusting that God would meet their need. The fifth step, she returned to seek spiritual guidance from Elisha once again, to know, what should I do with this increased good? Step six, put it to work. Just like the widow sold the oil, what powerful idea or skill that you discover within yourself? How can you put it to work in your life to do a new and good work, to bring you perhaps new income, new opportunities, new ways to express the creativity that you cherish within your soul? And the seventh step, always give thanks. It keeps you in the flow of good. It reminds me of another experience in my childhood when I was just teeny tiny and my mother took me up to the central square of our city. We ran into an elderly man. I didn't know him, but I could tell from the words that he and my mother knew each other. And he said, "Oh, James, here's a nice candy for you," and handed it to me with my big eyes of delight. And I said, oh, thank you, Mr. Brown. And he said, "Oh, well, that produced another candy." And he gave it to me. And, "Well, thank you again." He said, "Oh, that produced another candy." I don't know how long this filling of my hands would have gone on if I just continued to stay in that state of thankfulness. But it did increase the good. So as we are thankful for what we have in our life to work with, it multiplies. We appreciate it more. So I want to make a transition now to this little display that I have here. Those of you that receive our e-news several times a week received my suggestion that you build something in your home for this morning with mementos and reminders of your mother. And I have done that here. I want to light this candle. This candle was in our family home from the time I was just about 5 years old. My mother always liked it. It was a housewarming gift when our home was built. And she loved it because, you know, the pineapple is symbolic of hospitality and welcome. And that was really the intention of her home. She and my father loved entertaining, and she always wanted people to feel welcome in our home, given everything they needed to be comfortable and enjoy their time. She had a collection of birds, porcelain birds she enjoyed, collections from her travels like this bleak container from Ireland. And this happened to be the last pattern of china she bought late in life. I have her picture down here. She was May Queen of her college in 1935, a long time ago. And then a little poem for Mother that I've placed beside it. You see, when we put together mementos like this, remembrances, and we light a candle, which is symbolic of, I am putting my attention on these items that they may be filled with my memories and what's important to my heart concerning my mother. I said I'd mention this orange suit. I bought this so that I could wear my mother's favorite color on Mother's Day. Some would call it orange. One of my friends this morning said, "Oh, you're sun-kissed like the oranges." But my mother said, "Don't say orange. Call it bittersweet." She thought that was much more refined. So I want us to take a moment to give attention to our mothers, wherever they may be, because our gift of attention is the greatest gift we can give to anyone, to appreciate them, to give them our time and our presence. But especially we want to do this on Mother's Day, whether your mother is near you or whether she is at a distance, whether she is alive or has passed on, as my mother has, we can always enter their presence in mind and heart. We can use items like I have collected here as containers to pour our abundant memories and love into these items that we associate with Mother.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.